You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
9 minutes after 9, South African time, you are tuning and listening to the part 2, the Q&A every Monday night between now 8 o'clock to 10 o'clock. Just a quick reminder to all our beloved, beautiful, warm-hearted listeners of Al Ansar, listeners of Marcus Sahaba, and listeners of Sirius FM, Haji Faisal Asmail and Company. We will, inshallah, go tonight till about 10:15, inshallah. The Q&A will go at about, inshallah, till 10:15. Let's go to the next question, Ustad. I am a retired teacher, and every month my tax is deducted from my pension before I receive it, Ustad. And last month they made me pay an extra amount, which I paid with interest. Now they're giving me back a small amount. Can I take it, or must I regard it as interest, bearing in mind, Mufti Sab, that every month they deduct from my halal money, Ustad?
It's considered as your wages, so whatever they give you as a refund, as a rebate, call it whatever you want to, is totally halal for you, because they were cutting and deducting from your wages. So your wages were 20,000-30,000 rand, they were deducting 1,000 rand for past 10-20 years, now they gave you 5,000-10,000, all that money is halal for you, no problem.
Move this up. I would like to know if I must read Subhanallah 33 times, Alhamdulillah 33, and Allahu Akbar 34 after my farad salah or after my du'as, Ustad?
Remember, read it after your first salat, and that is the sunnah mubarakah of Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the mistake we are making here and many other places, we think that this sunnah is only for after Fajr and after Asr. When you make tahqeeq and research, remember, go read the kitabs, you will find it is sunnah for all the salats, after Fajr, Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, Isha, that after the first salat you read it. Go open Mishkat Sharif, Musnad Ahmad, Kanzul Ummal, and Musnad Hakim, and all these kitabs, and you will find the muhakkikin, ulama, those who go real into the research, then it is sunnah after all five salat, and after the first salat.
Somebody says, Ustad, that tomorrow night our beloved President Cyril will be announcing level 1, and they say that international flights from December will be allowed. Is this authentic? Is it true, Ustad? Anonymous?
Me, I don't know. I don't belong to the government. I don't see a spokesperson and something. My guess is you're good as yours. Mal mas'ulu anha bi'a'lam min asail. One day, Jibreel alayhi salam, hadith in Bukhari Sharif, Jibreel alayhi salatu salam asked, Mustafa Habibuna sallallahu alayhi sallam mata taqumu sa'ah. When will the Qiyamah come? The exact date and time and everything with all the details. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Mal mas'ulu anha bi'a'lam min asail. You, Jibreel alayhi salam, you are asking. I am the one answering. I don't know more than what you are saying. So remember, same answer I'm giving you, that we don't know. We will see in the press whatever happens and so forth. Make dua for this beautiful country of ours. Instead of going forward, it's going reverse. Gay, it looks like nowadays. So all might Allah have mercy on all of us.
We go overseas, Ustad. I am a revert of 3 years. Ustad, 45 years, the only one in my family. I'm divorced with kids. I moved back home to readjust. It's very difficult at times to keep focused and balance, Mufti Sab. I exclude myself in many of my family gatherings due to the habits. I lost all growing up friends. How do I keep to deen? I want to be a better Muslim and good example to them, Ustad.
Excellent question, my brother. Wherever you are, Allah Jalla Wala gave you the best of the best. And remember, 3 years ago you embraced Islam. So all might Allah in His Kalam, His Quran Sharif, which is Kalamullah, He gave you great tidings. And what did all might Allah say? Write down, my brother, chapter number 8, Surah Anfal, and verse number 38. قُلْ لِلَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا إِن يَنْتَهُوا يُغْفَرْ لَهُمْ مَا قَدْ سَلَفْ. Chapter 8 and verse 38. All might Allah states, the people who left their kufr and shirk, they left their blasphemy, polytheism, whatever ism they were believing in, and they embrace Islam sincerely, then their sins of the past are forgiven. They're like a newborn baby. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Innal Islam yahdimu ma kana qabla. Islam erases and expunges the sins of the past. Open Mishkat Sharif. So you must remember, so there's a sacrifice. So what must you do, my brother? Read with me now. Chapter 3, Surah 3, verse 8. Rabbana la tuzigh qulubana. O Allah, do not let our hearts get deviated. Ba'da idh hadaytana, after you gave us this guidance, this radiance and effulgence. Wa hab lana min ladunka rahma. O beloved Allah, that grant us from your side the special mercy. Innaka antal wahhab. Verily, O Allah, that you are the best of giver. Chapter 3, verse 8. Always read this dua, my brother, my sister, you embrace Islam, and for us who are born Muslims. Chapter 12, Surah Yusuf, verse 101. Tawaffani muslima. O Almighty Allah, let us die with Iman and Islam. Wa alhiqni bi salihin. O Almighty Allah, unite me with the pious and the devout servants of yours. Remember, you have us, do not forget the other part of which Quran Sharif is teaching us, chapter 31, verse 15. You are a Muslim. Your parents, your family members are non-Muslim. So when they are having a function, or they are not having a function, but you know there's no wine, there's no swine, all these type of things. So you must keep contact with your parents. Go there. Show them the beauty of Islam through your character, through your respect. You still kiss your mother's hand, although she's a non-Muslim. Kiss your father's hand and show him respect. And cry to Allah like Abu Huraira cried. Ya Allah, give hidayat to the mother of Abu Huraira and how she embraced Islam. Ameen. He came running back and said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the barakah, blessing of your dua, she embraced Islam. Now make dua when the Muslim listens to the name of Abu Huraira. He must have special affinity. An Abi Huraira radiallahu anhu qala Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We just read that, we already have that love for Sayyidina Abu Huraira. So the hadith in Sahih Muslim. So you must remember this, to never lose hope. Sometimes the family, they will be having their parties, wine, dine and swine, and you will not attend. So you go into sajda and speak to Allah in any language. Ya Allah, keep me steadfast on Iman and Islam. You gave me the greatest gift, Ya Allah. Only you can help me. So that is how you speak to Almighty Allah in sajda. أَقْرَبُ مَا يَكُونُ الْعَبْدُ مِ رَبِّي وَوَسَاجِدُونَ. The nearest the servant and slave comes to Allah is whilst you are in sajda prostrating. فَأَكْثِرُوا فِيهِ الدُّعَى. So beg Almighty Allah abundantly in that posture and position. Authentic hadith in Sahih Muslim.
Ustad, Walter says then, why are the extremists doing what they are doing? This is Walter Ustad.
You must remember that, Walter, you know, money speaks all languages. Who are the extremists you are talking about? You're talking about Al-Qaeda, you're talking about ISIS, you're talking about Shabab, you're talking about this one, that one. You must go into their history and see who paid them, who were the people who initiated all these movements and groups. You will find it was the Westerners themselves, so that they wanted to distort Islam. The people must hate Islam and Muslims. But wamakaru wamakarallah, the Quran says, they plot and they plan and they are scheming all the time. Wallahu khairul makirin. Allah is the best of planners. The more they plot and plan, more people embrace Islam. You go to Google now, my brother Walter, and you will see Islam is the most peaceful religion on this earth and the fastest growing religion on this earth in most places in the world. People are fed up with their own systems. They saw the double standards. They saw the hypocrisy. They saw everything. How the elite and the cartels are just using the public to get richer and richer. Islam says, your wealth cannot rotate amongst the wealthy only. It must filter down to the people on the ground, the people that are the lower income region people and so forth, the grassroots and so forth. So all that you will find in Islam, my brother. So when people are offered women and money, so who's going to reject today? So very few people have that real conviction. So they give them woman, they give them money, aurat and dalat, we say. So remember, in that way, they find it irresistible. So that is how they operate, my brother. So that Now, let's add another dimension to it. People say that the Muslims are the terrorists, most of them, some of them, whatever. I ask you, what about state terrorism, what Israel is doing, and demolishing the houses of the Palestinians and stealing the land and the occupation itself for 70 years and more or less? You must remember, is that not state terrorism? What America and Britain did in Afghanistan to go, weapons of mass destruction, is not state terrorism? I'm asking you the question, my brother Walter. So today you must be fair and just to everybody. What the people, the Rohingya Muslims went through there in Burma, so is that not state terrorism? What China is doing to the Uyghur Muslims now currently is not state terrorism? So all this is state terrorism. So who is guilty of terrorism? All these countries. There are many more. I just gave you some samples and examples.
Walter says, God bless you, Ustad. Ustad, could you please explain the aspect of Jama when it comes to combining the performance of Namaz at one time and whether it is permissible, Ustad?
Remember, we are here in Johannesburg, in Lanesia, we're going to Durban, we're going to Cape Town, we're going to overseas. So the journey must be permissible. You can't be going for soccer match and cricket match and going to meet girlfriend and boyfriend. Then you can't make Qasr Salat, you can't read two rakats for Zohar, Asr and Isha, and you can't combine. So that is the fatwa of the Shafi's, Hanbalis and them. An-ni'matu la tanalu bil mahzur. Allah gave you this concession and bounty that you read two rakat salat, you combine, but cannot do that through haram ways. So this is haram things, like the examples I gave. So yeah, the World Cup took place in South Africa. First match on a Friday. Our Muslims said they make imamat there and they read salat and they make jama salat. Every one of you must repeat that salat. It's shaitaniyat what you all did there. So you must remember, for soccer match they go make jama. What shaitaniyat is that now? So you see, that is what I'm speaking about. So you must remember, so if your journey from your border to your destination is 48 miles or more, or 78 kilometers or more, then you are classified as a musafir. And according to Shafi's, Maliki's, Hanbalis, once you reach your destination, if you are staying there for 4 days and more, then you are a mukim, that you must read full salat once you reach your destination. But en route there, while you're traveling, then you can still read two and two and all that, Zohar, Asr, Maghrib, three and two, like that. But anyway, according to Hanafis, all this is not permissible. You must read all your salat on the designated time. You can't combine the salat. There is one way of combining the salat according to Hanafis. You take Zohar and you read Zohar in the ending time of Zohar. And you read Asr in the beginning time of Asr, what they call Jama Suri, Jama Fa'li. So that is the only way you can do so. Yes, in Hajj is different. We combine Zohar and Asr in Arafat. We combine Maghrib and Isha in Muzdalifah. That is for the Hujjaj and the pilgrims. But we speak in normal situation. Hanafis say not permissible.
Ustad, I just want to know if it's okay for my 19-year-old brother to follow the domestic worker and plays all your podcasts and also has unnecessary conversations with her, but is quick to judge on the mistakes on others. Ustad.
So he's following the domestic worker way. So you must remember that he wants to now follow her. That is haram, that we follow her in what? Quran says, وَلَا تَقْرَبُوا zina. Do not even go near fornication and adultery. إِنَّهُ كَانَ فَاحِشًا. So remember, good intentions don't justify haram actions. I repeat, good intentions do not justify haram actions. She know me, I follow her, I'll do this, I will give her da'wah for Islam and thus, I will give her Mufti AKs, you understand, podcasts and all that. So what you have to give, just tell her to follow our Telegram, tell her to follow our Twitter, tell her just to send us a message 071-888-1184 and we will sort it. What you have to go there and all, it shows dal mein kuch kala hai. There is some hidden agenda and ulterior motive. You see, the father woke up late at night. So he heard some sounds. So he went, he saw his son is there going to the maid's room, you know, outbuilding. He said, Beta, what's going on? He said, no, the mosquitoes are troubling me. No mosquitoes are troubling, brother. He had some other agenda to go there in the maid's room. You must remember that. So that is what your 19-year-old brother is busy with. So he's got shaitani ideas in his head.
Ustad, let's go to Canada. Mother and father, Ustad, have 5 daughters and all are alive. Also had 1 son unmarried but passed away, Ustad. Father has 3 brothers and 2 sisters and 1 stepsister. All are alive, Ustad. Mother has 3 brothers and her mother, grandma, all are alive. 1 sister who has passed away. How would the shares be divided if father passes away? Canada, Ustad.
You gave so many A's there. You'll understand. In months, a daughter, and a month of birth. Anyway, I'll just give you the basic breakdown. And then if you got more, just send me a WhatsApp message. +27 7188 1184. Once you, the husband, passes away, then the wife will inherit 12.5%. Your 5 daughters will inherit 2/3. And if there's no parents, nothing, no mother, no father, nothing of the deceased, then the remainder will go to the siblings and the ratio will be 2-1. Then if the wife passes away and the husband will inherit 25% and the daughters 2/3, and then remember, I think that the wife's mother is alive, so she will inherit 1/6. So a husband 25%, and then 2/3, you must remember, for the children, the daughters, and then 1/6 for the mother. But remember, in a case like that, the heirs are the husband, and then it is the daughters, and then it is the mother. So if there's still residue left, then it will go to the siblings, ratio 2-1. So that is the basic principle you should remember.
Correct, Ustad. That's what the sister says, correct. Somebody says, Ustad, please advise what can read for hubby. Has prostate issue and kidney issues, Ustad.
Husband got issues, so we can't make tissues out of it, so we have to treat it very serious. So tell hubby, you write it down, sister. Surah 21, Surah Anbiya, the messengers, verse 83. He must learn this verse. Read the dua of Nabi Ayyub alayhi salam. Anni masaniya durru. Ya Allah, this calamity, this catastrophe, the sickness has struck me. Wa anta arhamur rahimin. You are the most merciful one to show mercy, Ya Allah. So read that abundantly. You, the family, wife, children, parents, siblings, brothers, sisters, all of you read abundantly, individually also. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu minaz zalimin, abundantly. The worry, sorry, anxiety will go away. That's the promise of Allah. And then read the Asma'ul Husna, the 99 names of Almighty Allah, and read one name abundantly. Ya Salamu, Ya Salamu. Ya Allah, give our brother, give our father, you wife, Ya Allah, give the husband that safety, salamti, comfort, sihat, afiyat. Ya Allah, you give him, restore his health, give him a speedy recovery. And remember, Dawu Mardakum bi Sadaqa, the hadith mentioned in the Marasil of Imam Abu Dawood, and that is that you give out charity in cash or kind to anybody, male or female, Muslim or non-Muslim, voluntary charity. Ya Allah, give cure to our people who are ill and sick. Do this daily. And inshallah, we also make dua and tell him to read Surah Fatiha. And y'all also read Surah Fatiha 7 times. Blow on him the hadith in Bukhari Sharif.
Ustad, can Muftisa please give a prescription for marriage for young girls to receive proposals? Ustad.
I like that word. Give a prescription. Prescription you get from the doctor, but we give spiritual prescription. So you must remember, my brother, sister, that you 18, 19, 20, 23, male, female, you want to settle down, and you should settle down. That's a good age. So daily read 2 rakat salat after Zohar, after Maghrib, after Isha. Allah Jalla Wala give tawfiq. You wake up 3-4 o'clock in the morning. So then you read 2 rakat salat, 1. And you read 2, 4, 6, 8 rakats, whatever. And tahajjud time. And thereafter you read, learn this dua from the Quran Sharif. Chapter 25, Surah Furqan, the criteria in verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Oh Allah, grant us such spouses. Ya Allah, grant us such progeny and children that are the coolness of the eyes. Ya Allah, just put one hadith in my head now. For you the men, because I find a lot of men nowadays like this. So you are 25, 30, 40, 50, and you never got married. If you got real sickness, bimari, and all that, that's different thing. You perpetually upper six or something, that's different thing. So you must remember that. I'm speaking of guys who are healthy, normal, and you want to remain a confirmed bachelor. You can go and propose. There are girls available, but you say, no. Remember Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Musnad Ahmad, al-a'zabu shaitan. You have joined shaitan's party. Look at the vices. Today, everywhere there is fitna. I just went for Isha Salat, and immediately after Isha in the masjid, I came back and I read Sunnah, see everything. So you must in the studio. So you must remember that what? We're reading Isha, and somebody's cell phone will go, some Hollywood, Bollywood tune, and that's so shaitaniyat and fitna everywhere. So you just go out, the lady is there, the man is there, this one is smiling, that one is laughing, that one wants to give you the cell phone, and they throw some cards in your house and all that. So all shaitaniyat, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, faqihu hadhil ummah, the mufti of this ummah, in that time, 1,400 years ago, he said, Allah, hypothetically, if I know in 10 days time I'm going to die, I, Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, will still get married with the fear of falling into a fitna and crime and so forth. What is 10 days and where we are? So think properly, you brothers, sisters. And the problem today is both sides, 90%, 80%. The aim is Jamal and Mal. Jamal, no, and how can I marry her? She's not so smart. And how can I marry him? The girl's party will say. The boy's party, she's not so pretty and beautiful and itni khubsurat nahi. And she's not so smart, you know. I want the paragon of beauty. And the girl's party, so the boy is looking for Jamal, for beauty. And the girl's party said, no, but how can we give our daughter? His wages is only 5,000, 10,000. So they look for Mal the whole time. So when you're going to look for Jamal and Mal, then remember that marriage is already on the wrong footing. So look for deen, look for a good deen, character, good manners, and correct belief system. Then see the barakah, the blessing. You grow together in that marriage. Remember that. Then you start appreciating your husband, you start appreciating your wife, and so forth. That is what marital life is all about. Hunna libasul lakum, wa antum libasul lahun. Through thick and thin you will be together, not going to sit in Maldives or Mauritius and just admire the ocean, Maulana. Beautiful, we went there. So you must remember, you go in the boat and speedboat and all this type of thing. So you must remember, to go to the hotel, you have to go in the speedboat. You have to make a lot of zikr. They don't capsize because it's the last time you sit in a boat. So you must remember all these things, but that is temporary. You want a permanent marriage. So then you read Ya Wadudu, Ya Wadud. You read Surah 25, verse 74. Rabbana ablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. So get your sons and daughters married immediately, as soon as possible.
28 minutes to 10. We go for an interval. When we come back, inshallah, we will continue. Don't go away. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Marcus Sahaba Online Radio Podcast.
23 minutes to 10. I see our beloved brother Ustad from overseas says, I'm Khalid Sebi. And he says, Barakallahu Fik, for such a beautiful explained response. I truly appreciate and accept your words. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you, Ustad. He says, I am crying listening to you right now, Ustad.
Jazakallah khair to our brother Khalid in overseas. You embrace Islam. It's not we saying, we just convey the message. It's Allah's kalam, Allah's speech. My brother Khalid, go to chapter 5 and verse 83. In our continent of Africa, in Habasha, Ethiopia, modern day Ethiopia, Ja'far radiallahu ta'ala read the Quran Sharif, and they Najashi niggers, his cabinet ministers, first time they heard and they read chapter chapter 19, Surah Maryam, they started crying. Allah describes it, chapter 5, verse 83. وَإِذَا سَمِعُوا مَا أُنزِلَ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ تَرَى أَعْيُنَهُمْ تَفِيدُ مِنَ الدَّمِ مِمَّا أَرَفُوا. So what happened when they heard the Quran Sharif? The tears were flowing because now they heard and they recognized the truth. There and then they embraced Islam. So it's not we non-entities. It is the fadl, the grace, the mercy of Almighty Allah. Hada min fadli Rabbi. So yes, Brother Khalid, you must make dua. Ya Allah, make me the ambassador of Islam wherever I am. My Ameen. Family are non-Muslim. Ameen. Ya Allah, I cry to you, make my family Muslim. Show them the true light and the radiance and effulgence of Islam.
Hmm. Ustad, we go to overseas. It says here plus 266. It says, I am a hafiz of the Quran. I really admire how Mufti Sahab quotes the chapter and verse number. What special way of revision is there to achieve this? Please share the secret, Mufti Sahab. Ustad.
No secret, my brother, Hafiz Sahab. Secret is this. Take your parents' duas. When last you kiss your mother's hand, my Hafiz Sahab? Mm. You're kissing your wife, you're not kissing your mother. So kiss your mother's hand, kiss your father's hand, take their duas. Take the duas of your teacher and you'll go very, very far in life, inshallah. So you must remember, whenever I go to Darul, you know, the Hifz classes, Darul Tahfiz. Now recently I was there in Amzinto. So I went there to the madrasa and the Dawatul Haq madrasa, mashallah, Qari Ismail's madrasa, all young boys there. And they all white kurtas, looking like small buzruks, you know. So very good, 100 of them. So I said, see, I'm giving you one lesson today. I don't know if your ustad told you, but not. But I'll take the liberty to tell you. Whilst you're becoming a hafiz, then learn Surah Baqarah and you must learn Madaniyah. So what you must know, that this surah was revealed after the migration. And how many verses? 286 verses they are in the surah. So from the time of Hifz, at least that much you should learn. That every surah, so you have said this is your homework for tonight and tomorrow you start. Every surah, you know Surah Fatiha, 7 verses. Surah Baqarah, 286 verses. Qul Allah, you know the 3 verses, like that. So whatever it is, so first thing you start with the surahs, every surah, how many verses they are, and so forth and so on. So inshallah, in that way there, then you can go to the verses themselves and you by heart it, what numbers and so forth. But remember, first start with the surah itself. Today, if you ask the youngsters, how many verses in this surah? So that verses they don't know. So how are they going to remember the number? They weren't. So we must teach them from the time they become a hafiz. That is very, very easy. So Almighty Allah make it easy for them. So you must remember longer surah Baqarah. And that is 286. Shortest one, Surah Kawthar, 3 verses. Surah Qul Huwallah, 4 verses. So like that, you keep on teaching them. So that way there, you will become fluent in church.
Abdullah Zondi from Newlands West says, Ustad, I really learn a lot from the Q&A program. May Allah Ta'ala grant you al-barakah and wealthy, healthy life. This is Abdullah Zondi from Newlands West, Ustad. Let's go to, this is from Blackburn. Mufti Sahab, this is Brother Muhammad. Is there any dumb for a person who, after performing tawaf ziyarah, reaches Mina only after the sunrise on the 11th of Dhul Hijjah, according to Shafi'i, not Hanafi, Ustad, Muhammad?
So you must remember, Brother Abdullah Zondi, barakallahu fikum, for all the du'as, we make du'a for you and the Ummat and Muslimah. Brother Muhammad in Blackburn, UK, mashallah, I think that maybe you went for Hajj in 2020 and you were. But if you were in Blackburn, then you couldn't have gone because you had to be in Saudi, but maybe 2019. Be that as it may. So this is what happens, my brother. That night, you leave Arafat after Maghrib, after sunset, and then you go to Muzdalifah. So you spend the night in Muzdalifah. So Hanafis, we stay the whole night. We read our Fajr there. The Shafis, Hanbalis, Malikis, they leave midnight and they go. So you must remember, then you went straight to Makkah. That's what happened to you. So from Muzdalifah, so you reach Makkah, and then there Fajr time or whenever, you perform your Tawafu Ziyarah. So Tawafu Ziyarah is Hanafi term. Shafis, Malikis, Hanbalis call it Tawaful Ifadah. So your Tawafu Tawaful Ifada, Tawaful Ziyara is anonymous. So you must remember that it's valid, and after that you made Sa'i if you are performing Tamattu Hajj and that. So all that is valid. Then you came to Mina, and then you pelted the big Jamarat, the big Shaitan, so your Hajj is perfect, there's nothing wrong, totally perfect, no dumb. Remember that, nothing you have to pay.
Ustad, can a son-in-law live with his father-in-law? And his father-in-law must support his children, Ustad.
So you must remember his girl jamai. Girl jamai means when he went to propose to that person's daughter, so they don't want to release their daughter and say, you know what, we are rich and so forth, so you just stay here. You can stay here in this granny flat or this extra flat that is attached to our house, or you stay here. And you said, yes, fine. So remember, so if that is the agreement they made with you, it's fine. But remember, is not a desirable situation. You must become the man and not the person who is a parasite always depending on your father-in-law. So best is you go live alone, and you are the one must provide the roti kapra makan, that you husband must provide the shelter, the food, the medication, clothing, everything for your wife and your children. Tomorrow you're going to have an argument with your wife. Your wife will throw back the history, geography, everything to you. What you talking so much? My father is giving this house, my father is giving the car, my father is paying for the groceries, So you keep quiet. Therefore, Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam hadith in Musnad Ahmad, any male, any person goes and marry that lady for her wealth, and that is the main criteria. You said, I'm a pauper and all, let me marry this one, the elite, The higher strata of society, the who's who in society, so I will also become somebody. When that is your intention, fa innama adhallahu Allah, Almighty Allah will disgrace you and humiliate you. So my advice to you, brother, move out as soon as possible. Father-in-law, jazakallahu khair. And wife, we have to start living on our own. Children are growing up and all that, so at least become a man and not a mouse.
We'll start a very, very sad questions coming in. The sister says she got married when she was 21 years old and now she is 23. When she got married, her husband was still in varsity, and the husband told her that he's not prepared to have any children. So what she did, she was taking those pills not to fall pregnant, Ustad. Now she needs help from you, Ustad, because apparently she was taking those pills for 2 years. Now when she wants to fall pregnant, her womb is damaged. Now they want to remove her womb. Please guide me, student of Deen, Ustad.
You see, anything you do that is against Islam, then there must be some repercussions and consequences sooner or later. Just last week we had the question. So either in Bliss of Marriage or Q&A, one of the programs, you can just go to the podcast and listen to it. Couple wants to get married, husband, wife, both of them, one of them say, I don't want children, I want to remain slim and trim and what have you. Yeah, the husband said, no, here I want to finish my BA and my CA and my MA and DA and Allah alone knows what else. So all that he wants to do, so you don't fall pregnant, so she filled herself up with all the contraceptives, and now she can't fall pregnant. Now, not only that, they want to remove the womb and all that. So my advice, that go for second, third, fourth opinion, and read both of you, Rabbi Habli Mina Salihin, chapter 37, verse 100. Second one is this, that don't be in a hurry to do all these type of operations and so forth. And remember, you must cry to Allah. Both of you are guilty. Husband, you are guilty for suggesting all this, and wife, you are guilty for taking all these things here. La ta'ata li makhlukin fi ma'asyatil khaliq. There is no obedience to any creation, even husband, father, teacher, whoever, when you are violating the law of Almighty Allah Jalla wa'ala, the hadith in Mishkat Sharif. So both of you cry to Allah, especially tahajjud time. Astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah Rabbi min kulli dhambin wa atubu ilay. Ya Allah, we seek your pardon, your forgiveness. Ya Allah, forgive us for all our vices and sins. Ya Allah, we make tawbah. We will never repeat this folly and this mistake and foolishness we did. Surah chapter 71, verses 9, 10, 11, 12, go read. Allah says, when you, O people and nation, you make istighfar, you say on the land and sand, it has an impact on the heavens and the clouds. Yursilis samaa عَلَيْكُمْ مِدْرَارًا. Allah will bless you with rain and water. وَيُمْدِدْكُمْ بِأَمْوَالٍ وَبَنِينَ. Allah will increase your wealth for you. Allah will bless you with children. It's a win-win situation for you. So you're only worried about doctor and about gynecologists and this person. Turn to Allah first and say, I'm guilty as charged. There's no mitigating circumstances. Main mujrimhu, I'm a criminal, Ya Allah. But your mercy, you arhamur rahimeen. When you cry to Allah, that same Allah will give you shifa. That same Allah will bless you with children. You see, Nabi Ibrahim Khalilullah. Now they are there in Canaan. They are there in Palestine. And now the angels came. And they gave them great tidings. Sayyida Sarah is there. She's listening to the conversation between the Malaika and the angels. And between Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam. أَأَلِدُ وَأَنَا أَجُوزُ وَهَذَا بَعْلِي شَيْخًا إِنَّ هَذَا لَشَيْءٌ عَجِيبٌ. You mean I'm going to give birth now, I'm so old, and this husband of mine is so old. This is indeed very, very strange. So أَتَعْجَبِينَ مِنْ أَمْرِ اللَّهِ رَحْمَةُ اللَّهِ وَبَرَكَاتُهُ عَلَيْكُمْ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. It's Allah's mercy, Allah's blessings on you. Ahlul Bayt are the wives. So you must remember Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa honorable wives are Ahlul Bayt. Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salatu salam's wives are the Ahlul Bayt. So never lose hope in the mercy of Allah. That is Quran teaching us.
Allah Akbar, subhanallah, subhanallah. Somebody says, Ustaz, before I cut a tree, must I inform the tree that I'm going to cut it, Ustaz?
What you going to tell him or her? We don't know whether it's a male or female. Mr. Tree, I want to chop your head off and make kurbani of you. Let me say Bismillah and then you chop the head off. So very good, say Bismillah and chop it off. Finish, no problem. So you must remember, but you don't destroy trees for no reason. Yes, you want to extend your house, you want to expand it and all that. It's fine, no problem. It's permissible.
Ustaz, let's go to Maputo. It says, Mufti Sahab, when does a ladies eat that starts? As soon as her husband has passed away or when his mayat leaves the house, Ustaz?
Same time the husband closed his eyes forever, intiqalus ruh, when the ruh leaves the body, min daril ghurur ila daril surur, it leaves this house and this world of deception, and it goes to the house of happiness and joy for the Muslim. So from time of death, you count the iddat 130 days from time of death, and that is how you will calculate the iddat. That is Quran Sharif, and that is Surah 2, verse 234. So Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has mentioned it. Arba'ata ashurin wa ashura.
My wife separated from me. It was her choice because I am totally financially bankrupt to start. Yet she is demanding 10,000 rand a month from me. I mean, it's a cutable case and she knows that. What does the Sharia say I should do, Ustad?
I don't understand your question thoroughly. You mean you were a rich person and then you lost everything. Did you lose everything because of COVID and the lockdown or because of gambling and just behaving recklessly and so forth? So people like to send in questions, but it is a half-truth and a half-crook business, you know. So meaning that you don't tell us the other half. So what happened actually? Your wife left you, but what? What happened? Were you well-to-do and then you went gambling? Or did this thing lockdown affect you and impact you? So all these are questions we must know. So let's cut the long story short. So remember that both of you need to be honest with one another. Quran Kareem states, وَلَا تَنْسَهُ الْفَضْلَ بَيْنَكُمْ. Don't forget the mercy and grace of Allah. You had so many good moments. You cherished and relished so many things. Now your wife is because maybe you treated her so badly. So therefore she said, أَخَنْ يُنُوْ رَحْمَكْ. You know, Echan Yurechmak, that now you have to pay me 10,000 rand and so forth and so on. I'm not saying she's justified. What I'm saying is be honest to me and then we can give you honest advice. Otherwise, remember, it is a very, very loaded question. So remember that you can tell her you won't give her talaq. You must remember that. And she must come back to your house. But if you ill-treating her and you say you're a zakat case and so forth, so there are thousands of people here in South Africa who will help you with zakat if you are really genuine. But if you are a person who's taking chances, then Even I will tell them they mustn't give you zakat. So we need to know all the facts, my brother.
Well, our good friend says, hi, this is Krish. Hope you are in a good health. He wants to know, Ustad, that can God bring back a man eaten by a shark? This is Krish, Ustad.
Remember, we are very, very well, my brother Krish. We say, Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Almighty Allah. I am asking you, Krish, you know the story of Jonah and the fish. He was in the belly of the fish for 3 days. He was in the belly of the fish for 40 days. I don't know how well you know the Bible, but remember in the Bible they speak of 3 days and three nights. So then that same Allah is showing us His power. And Allah Jalla wa Ala taught him, Jonah, Nabi Yunus alayhi salam, a dua. And read the supplication, O Jonah, O Nabi Yunus alayhi salam, chapter 21, verse 87. La ilaha illa anta subhanak inni kuntu min al-zalimin. Truly there's none worthy of worship but you, Ya Allah. Everlasting glory, perfection is for you alone, and you alone transcend every defect and weakness and shortcoming. We all have millions and billions of weaknesses. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. I am the one who's the wrongdoer. He, Jonah, Nabi Yunus alayhi salam, never commit sins. They are prophets and messengers. They are protected from sins. But mistake can happen, error in judgment. He left Nineveh. Nineveh is a place there in Iraq before the command of Almighty Allah came, and therefore Almighty Allah made it such that the fish swallowed him. I put it to you, Krish, and see that what the non-Muslims did. They came to the Prophet of Islam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. They went to the graveyard, to the cemetery, and they took out the bones from there that were decomposed, disintegrated. And then they said, you are telling us that we are going to have resurrection. We will then come out. We will have to account for our deeds and actions. So the question they posed, may yuhyil idama wa yaramim, who will give life to these bones that have decomposed and disintegrated? Kul, say, O Messenger of Islam, Mustafa, rahmatulil alameen, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, yuhyi alladhi ansha'aha awwala marra, the same Allah who created me and you, Krish, 40 years ago, 60, 70, 100 years ago, so depending what our age is, that same Allah will resurrect us on the day of justice. Chapter 36 and verses 78-79. So my brother Krish, I want you tonight, before you sleep, just think for 2 minutes, Krish, only 2 minutes. Look to your roof and look to the heavens, and you will see a nice moon, you will see stars, and then look at yourself. My ears, my eyes, my nose, my tongue, my entire anatomy, who gave me? Allah. My father, my mother, any creation, anybody? Nay. So there must be a supreme being. So that same supreme being who created this entire cosmos and universe and creation, remember he is Inna Allah ala kulli shayin qadir. That shark, that crocodile, that elephant, that lion can tear a person to pieces. And remember, if Allah wants, you will be resurrected totally. Like Allah teaches us, Allah is Qadir Mutlaq. He has absolute total power. He shows us the lunar eclipse and solar eclipse. Why? To show that whenever I want to remove the luster and radiance of the sun and moon, I will do so whenever I want to. So that is Allah, my brother. So Krish, I don't know you, but I assume you're 30, 40 years old. So remember, you went through the vicissitudes and ups and downs in life. Some days you were crying. You were so sad. And some days you were smiling. Who made you cry? Who made you smile? Remember, is Allah, Adhaka wa Abka. So He controls our emotions. He controls everything of ours. So why not we worship Him alone, O Krish? Think of that tonight before you sleep.
I see Brother Krish says he's almost half a century, we start, almost 50.
Not bad, Krish. I said 40, so you beat me. Right.
Somebody wants to know, Ustad, could you please explain the fadail of starting Umrah or Hajj from Masjid Aqsa, Ustad?
Excellent, mashallah. I encouraged it there in Newcastle when I was was there 20 wonderful years. 20 wonderful years in Lens also, mashallah, coming to that now. Maulana, I want to tell you a story. Today I gave it on the air. You see our Jami Masjid where we go for Salat. So remember, it came into existence on the 22nd of September 1972. So next week, Monday night, when we're going to be sitting here, and the Tuesday next week will be 22nd. So you must remember that the Jami Masjid of ours will be 48 years old. So remember that.
Ya Allah subhanahu.
So that is the, see, Allah Ta'ala, we must write all those things in our history. Any one of you want the history, geography of Jami Masjid, send me a message. I'll send you the podcast, 071-888-1184. Now we go to Aqsa. So in Newcastle, I used to encourage them about Aqsa. There was one Haji Sahib there, he passed away. Allah Mubin Bhai, Allah grant him Jannatul Firdaus. He used to listen 7-8 times maybe or more. He went and he fastened Ihram there in Aqsa. Old man. And remember, he was so inspired with his hadith. I give you the whole hadith with the Ravi and reporter. And Umm Salamah radiallahu ta'ala anha qalat Umm Salamah. The honorable wife and spouse of Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reports. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Habibuna Mustafa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Mana halla bi hajjatin aw umratin min al Masjid al Aqsa. Whosoever fastens ihram for umrah or for hajj, pilgrimage or minor pilgrimage, hajj or umrah. Then from Aqsa al-Mubarak, from there, 2002, me and my wife, we fastened it, alhamdulillah, rabbil alameen, and we perform umrah from there. Three things will happen. Ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min zambihi wa ma ta'akhar. Your previous sins are forgiven. Your future sins are forgiven. Wa wajabat lahu al-jannah, and jannat is inshallah, blessed for him, given to him. And the hadith in Abu Dawood. Sahaba used to do that. Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhu did it. When I just finished Salat and I raised my hands to make dua, and when I just stood up, subhanallah, from where and where people came crying and so forth, and they were kissing me, ya Sheikh, ya das, ya that, 101 titles, make dua for us, we want to go to Al-Haramul Makki, we want to go to Makkah Mukarramah, Madinah Munawwara, and so forth. So I experienced that twice with Allah's help, you know. Once is when I went inside the Kaaba Musharrafa 2011 and I came out. People left their tawaf and they caught hold of me and kissing me and all this kind of thing. So it's all Allah's fazl, Allah's mercy, Adam, and same thing in Aqsa al-Mubarak. So Ummah, never forget our first Qibla. This peace plan, let me make it clear, and you can quote it anywhere in the world. We say that peace plan with Arab countries, Muslim countries, is not worth the paper on which it's written. That is our fatwa regarding that issue. Aqsa is not for sale. Aqsa belongs to the Muslims. Palestine belongs to the Muslims. It is the time of the decline of the apartheid regime. And remember, Aqsa, Allah gave Palestine to the Christians for 88 years. Allah brought Salahuddin Ayyubi in 1187 and liberated it. Allah has already prepared somebody. And remember, he will liberate Masjid al-Aqsa and Palestine from the Nazi and the apartheid regime of Israel, and all the peace treaty, all that will be thrown to the scraps of history, and everybody who signed there will be humiliated and disgraced forever. That is our message. So every one of you, every day read 2 rakat salat. Ya Allah, take me for Hajj Baitillah.
Ameen.
Ya Allah, take me to Madina Munawwara. Take me for Umrah, and then take me to Aqsa Mubarak. I told Mona Arafat break time. Maulana, you, he told me he hasn't been. I said, you must go. Muslim, what's the sense we're going America and Europe and Amman's Kral and here and there? And you can't go Aqsa? No, you must go. So go read, see the virtues Mustafa sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned. So each one of us make that. What they can do, they can't do you nothing. They will just interrogate you a little bit and then they allow you to go. Maybe guy like me, they don't allow me. They say your name is AKU. So dangerous. So you must remember that. So fine, we don't go, but we will expose you. So that is what we will do. So you must remember.
Subhanallah, subhanallah. Ustaz, I just wanted to know if interest money can be given to a Muslim to pay on his interest, Ustaz.
Yes, interest for interest is permissible, but by the same time and same token, you must know that interest is haram and condemned in Islam. Surah 2, Surah Baqarah, verses 275 to 279. Almighty Allah condemns interest in all forms, shapes and sizes. Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala was a genius. He used to say, "Kunna nattaqi riba wa riba." We used to abstain from riba, interest, and anything that looked like interest. Was a doubtful, so we abstain. Open Bulughul Maram, open Mishkat Sharif, open Musnad Ahmad. You will find all the hadith on riba and so forth. So remember, that is totally haram. But if you have it and now you have to pay interest, you or somebody else, you pay interest for interest, so it's fine. Like I tell you, all these taxes and duties and rates and whatever we have to pay government, for what? You have to give them with halal money. So you pay them with interest money, totally permissible.
I see Brother Hamza from Johannesburg says, Mufti Saab, with due respect, he says, every time you touch on polygamy, I see that you're totally against it. I'm not offending you, but don't you feel going against the verse from the Quran on polygamy? Ustad, Brother Hamza.
You see, that is what I told you. You don't hear properly. Selective hearing. You mustn't suffer from selective amnesia, brother. My words are, it is Sharia. But I say it's permissible. But I say, look at the practicality today. Today, nowadays, I always say that. I'm asking you, Hamza, I don't know you. But maybe you have got 2-3 wives. Or maybe you must remember you want to get married to a second wife. I'm asking you, Hamza, in all fairness, put 100 guys you know in South Africa, Africa, where? How many of them are doing justice? So Quran is teaching that. So what are you speaking about that? Quran said, "Masna wa thulatha wa ruba, fa in khiftum alla ta'dilu fa wahida." So you must remember that when they asked Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi Nawarallahu Marqadahu, that Hazrat, you got married to second wife and all that, apna to rasta khol diya, you opened the path for everybody. He said, "Maine to rasta ban kar diya." I showed them that how cautious they have to be. When the watermelon used to come, then he used to say, they brought 2 watermelons. He say, "Badi apa ke liye or choti apa ke liye." So for the big wife, senior and a junior, he say, "Yeah, but the taste is not the same. So cut that one in half and this one in half. And then you take the 2 halves, one from the first one and one from the second one, and give to the big house and the other one to the other house." So brother, nobody can speak against it. We're speaking about what is happening today. Allah, that is the injustice the men are doing to the women. So don't confuse issues and blow your fuses, Brother Hamza.
He says he's intending of marrying the second one, but now the second one is afraid of listening to you, Ustad.
Yeah, you see, why you don't say that, Hamza? Dal mein kuch kala hai. That is the thing, Hamza. You see, I told you, selective amnesia. You didn't tell me that before. That now the second one is saying, "I heard AK." And AK say, "You won't make justice." You see, Hamza, I don't know you. I don't know number 2. But today, if anybody tells me they want to take second wife, I say, think properly. You understand? Because remember, 80-90% of our Muslims, not South Africa, across the world, they don't do justice. You must remember that. And that is a serious, serious crime. So Brother Hamza, we make dua for you for khair, for goodness. I'm not saying you must take second one, you mustn't take second one. We say whatever is the best for you.
Ustad, is there a booklet on regulations of sajda sahwa? This is from Australia, Ustad.
Yes, you must remember, open any hadith kitab, you will find a whole chapter in Mishkat Sharif, Tirmidhi Sharif, Bukhari Sharif, on Sajda-e Sahu, and you will find the rulings there. Today, all these books are translated in 101 languages. You know the internet today. So you get all the good, bad, happy, sad there also. And you go to your ulama, mashallah, there in Australia. So my one student is there, Sheikh Majdi, Egyptian he is, he and his children, all of them also my students. So he is there, you must remember. The last I remember that he was there in Perth. So I hope he's still there. You go to him if you are in Perth, Sheikh Majdi. And I hope he's listening also. Mm-hmm. And his sons, mashallah, they were Hafiz and some studying and so forth. So you can go to any of the sheikhs there and ulama, they'll teach you, inshallah.
Ustad, let's go to Escort. The sister says, is wudu accepted when having a shower? Can you give me a step-to-step guide for wudu and namaz? I get confused on qada namaz as well. I am a revered female, Ustad.
MashaAllah, my sister, Allah Ta'ala accept all of you. Sister, easy example. Why you want to confuse all the issues? You see, I went to buy a cow. So when I bought the cow, the milk came worth, right? So now that is easy. So when you took a ghusl, a bath, your wudu is done, finished. You don't have to go make wudu and all that separately. So you went and make wudu. You wash your whole body, head to toe, the wudu is done already. So you don't have to make separate wudu. Yes, if you want the sunnat method, so then we show you the sunnat method. First you wash your hands and then the private and then you perform the wudu and then you wash your body head downwards, then your right shoulder, left shoulder. So nowadays we are in the shower, most of us. So even then you just move a little bit and do all that. So it's fine. Don't waste water and make sure that your whole body is wet. And Hanafi say you must make sure that you insert water into your mouth properly. You gargle and insert water into your nostrils. Finish, your ghusl is done. So even if you just stand under the shower and so forth, then you don't have to make wudu. That is done already automatically, is incorporated, is already included. Second one, you must remember regarding qada, salat and so forth. So you must remember qada, salat, you can read any time. And besides sunrise time, and beside when the sun is at the zenith, istiwa, ushams, what we call, people call zawal, and remember sunset time. The whole night you can read. And remember, sister, you have embraced Islam, you must make sure every salat you read on time. So that is it. But sometimes because of your changes and menses and so forth, so you must remember that you get confused and whatever. You must remember because of your menses, the salat is saqit, is waved off. There is no qada salat for that. So don't confuse issues, sister.
Ustad, is it permissible for fard qada umri to be read after fajr and asr, Ustad?
Yes, 100%. After fajr you can read qada, after asr you can read qada. However, the last 15-20 minutes before sunset and sunset, you should not be reading.
Somebody wants to know, okay, this is Mrs. Adrian, Ustad. Is a Muslim permitted to enter a Christian place of worship, Ustad?
Yes, I used to study biblical studies there through UNISA, and I used to go to the chapel there, St. Dominic, if you know Newcastle, and the nuns, they used to help me, Sister Teresa and Sister this one. But I remember Sister Teresa, old lady, and she was very kind to me, and she used to always tell me, you must come here and I'll give you all the books you want. And on loan, you know, I didn't have to pay for anything, free of charge. And I used to take the books from them and so forth. So I have to enter the church, I have to enter the chapel, they call chapel. So all that. So if you go for a reason, it's fine. So you must remember, I go ala sabilil istitla. I want to study what they do and so forth. I told you, my sister, Mrs. Adrian, that I'll finish up on this. And that was on Zanzibar means the land of the people who are dark in complexion. When the Arabs from Oman, they came Muscat and that. So first time in their life, they saw people so dark in complexion. Hence, they called it Zanzibar. And we went there, stone town. You must go there, wonderful place. We wrote an article on that recently, alhamdulillah. So we thank all our brothers. You know who they are. We won't take your name. So brothers, sisters, everybody helping us, mashallah. So anyway, so when we came by boat and ferry from Dar es Salaam, and me and my wife, you know, and that boat was, we were in the first class. And it was a wonderful journey. People bringing goats and sheep and animals in the boat. I'm wondering what's going on here. They say, no, this is Africa. Say, Africa, kullu halal, everything goes, you know. So, Mr. Adrian, I haven't forgot your question. Don't worry, I'm giving the answer. So, when we were arriving there in Zanzibar and the sun was setting and I saw two minarets, you know, two towers. So, I got very happy and I said, told my wife, hey, that looks like a beautiful masjid, a beautiful mosque. We will go there. So, we took our luggage, everything, and then some people were there, whatever you. So, anyway, then we went there, settled down. So, next day I went there, I found it's a church. It's not a mosque, you know. So, when I went to pay some dollars, $2 or $3 or something like that, that to enter, and because it's a historic church and so forth. So we went and so forth. So my wife was not interested, but now I just took her to sit one side. So anyway, that guide day, he asked me, from where are you? I said, I'm from South Africa. He said, you know Bishop Tutu? I said, yes, I heard of him. I haven't met him, but I know him in the sense he's a very famous person.
Mm-hmm.
He said, yes, when Bishop Tutu came here, I took him around and so forth. Oh, very good. So anyway, he started speaking, and then he said, in the church day in Zanzibar, and I'm listening, the other tourists listening, and he said, the Arabs did this, and everything negative, you know, they did this with the slaves and that. So any question? So I kind of hold myself, so I picked up my hand. So he said, yes, sir. So I said, sir, I read one day that there is a church, and I think it's this church here. So you must answer, where a gay priest gave a sermon and rendered and delivered a sermon. Yeah, his jaw dropped and he just looked down. So I said, sir, what happened? He said, no, he's a white man. I said, hey, me? I didn't ask you, is white man or pink man or green man or black man, Indian man, and I don't know. Is it true or not true? You see, when we know we're in the right, then we're going to raise our voice also. Plus we were the people there. He said, yes, it's true. So I said, in all fairness, how come you are being so biased? You only tell the people, Arabs did this, Arab did this. Why you don't tell them one person came here who was gay and he delivered a sermon here? So he kept quiet. فَبُهِتَ الَّذِي كَفَرْ. So you see, my sister, we go to the church. You understood? We go to the White House. I went to New Zealand. And in New Zealand, my sister, Mrs. Adrian, we went in the caves. I forget the name now. Very, very difficult names, you know, to remember. So it was our time for prayer. So the lady was a guide there, all the tourists. So she said, you know, we in the cave. And who can give a song now and it will echo very well? My brother Niaz was there now from Sri Lanka, mm-hmm. from Ceylon and Colombo, you know. So he's there many years, 30, 20 years in Auckland, in New Zealand. And he has a good voice. So I picked up my hand. I said, sister, my brother will sing, you see. Mm-hmm. So I told him, Nizar bhai, azan de do, give azan. So he started in the cave, you see. And echo and acoustics and everything. Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar. And you just hear the acoustics and the echo and everything there. Subhanallah, in the cave in New Zealand. So I still got that ticket and whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, so everybody silent. You can hear a pin drop. Then he ended, La ilaha illallah, and he silenced. They all started clapping hands. What a wonderful song. What a wonderful song. So then I took over. I said, see, this is not a song. This, we are Muslims. And five times a day, we have this prayer. So it's our praying time now. But we will go with the tour, because I came for that. And our time, we can read after half an hour, 1 hour, 2 hours also. No problem. It was our time. So we, sister, Mrs. Adrian, whether we're in the White House, we will present Islam. Whether we're in the Red Square, we will present Islam. Whether we're in the cave of New Zealand, we will present Islam. Whether we are in the church in Zanzibar, we will present Islam. That is our message to you, my sister, Mrs. Adrian, to you, Krish, to you, Norbert, to you, Delta, and whoever else. We have nothing to hide. Islam is the best, and we want to share it with the rest. And may God Almighty Allah guide me, you, and all of us to peace and prosperity. And this beautiful country of our South Africa, Allah grant us and the authorities the tawfiq and ability to bring us all to safety and security. And inshallah, next up, we will listen to my brother Hafiz Yusuf Kala with his golden voice. Hafiz Yusuf Kala, and thereafter Mufti Tariq Masood with his lecture on justice in Islam. A court case took place and the verdict that was given for those people who understand the Urdu language. Our time is finished, Maulana. Our time is exhausted. 10:14, 10:15. We thank our brother Lukolo. He will prepare the bottle. of dust, and before 11 we have sent it out, inshallah. Monday night is becoming a heavy night for me. And anyway, but we will give it out to you, don't worry, the podcast, inshallah. And the Salahuddin team will be there, they will send it out also. And inshallah, Mawlana Arafat will also send it out. So jazakallah khair to you, Mawlana Arafat, and the team, and all the listeners. Barakallahu fiqh, salamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And thanks to you too as well, Ustad, and to all the listeners out there. We say jazitu khaira. And of course, up next is the golden voice of Hafiz Kala Sahib from Newcastle. Thereafter, inshallah, will be our Urdu lecture by Hazrat Marana Mufti Tariq Mas'ud Hafizahullah. And the topic is
Justice.
So we leave you and love you on this beautiful evening. We thank our beloved engineer, brother Lokolo, and the engineer in the Durban studios. See you guys tomorrow morning, same time, same place, on our program, As Safina to Ilal Jannah. Our beloved Ustad will be at, at 5 o'clock. And inshallah, 4 o'clock tomorrow morning, same time, on our program, As Safina to Ilal Jannah. From myself and all of you out there, Allahumma ahdina wa ahdibina wa ahdina sa jami'a. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.